Blog Talk Radio.
Testing our electronic technicians to make sure that everything is sounding good. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another Theologically Speaking. I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. Would like to thank you for joining us and just tuning in. And the followership has just been continuing to grow, and we've just been so blessed by that. And so because of that, we just extend our greatest thanks to you for being such a support. And we're so blessed of the Lord that we're able to have this opportunity to just share the word on this platform. And so without further ado, one of the things that we always like to do is let you know what the show is all about. It's all about just speaking about some very deep theological issues to help others make basically a conversion decision or help them to progress in their faith walk. Help us to look at the Bible from a realistic or from a godly perspective and not one of our own personal philosophies. What does that mean? That means we need to find out what the Bible actually says. What is the Bible really saying to us so that we can govern ourselves according to his word? And so one of the things that we do very frequently on this show, every show, we dare not go without at least asking God to just bless us and to, like, keep us in our show. So without further ado, we do want to boldly go before the throne of grace and just petition the Lord at this time. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day, this time that you've given us, this opportunity that you've blessed us to be able to just come and share on this platform to uplift your word, to help us to think more provocatively according to how your word is governing us. We pray that you continue to keep us and guide us. We're praying for those who are sick and afflicted, those shut in. We ask you, Lord, that you just impart your presence to them, that you extend your blessings upon them. Also for those who are incarcerated, we pray that you be the righteous judge, that you uplift them, that you allow them to have a change of heart, that rehabilitation actually begin to take place in their lives. We're blessed and know we're praying for those all over the place that have been hurt and afflicted, those who are experiencing pain and layers of issues that cause them to at times lose hope in life, to cause them at times to not know which direction to go. Lord, bless us and direct our paths on today so that we'll be well-equipped with your power, your presence, your prominence to go forward and secure your promises. We trust you. We believe you. In Jesus' name, we declare it is so. Amen. Today, I'm thinking very much about continuing on in this series. The series has been quite a blessing to me. I'm hoping that it's been a blessing to our congregants at our church. We come to you from the Center of Spirit and Truth, where we champion the cause of Christ and truly seek to worship him in spirit and in truth. We have our services over in Detroit on Livernois. Our address is 17609 Livernois in Detroit, Michigan. So if you just happen to be somewhere and you want to come and praise the Lord, we do not have long services. We believe that we can get in and get out. And not that we're in some kind of rush, but it don't take a long time to give a word in season. And so being obedient to the call on my life, I think is necessary that, a good preacher stand up to be seen, speak up to be heard, but then also sit down to be appreciated. And so that we try our best to avoid the vain repetitions and all of that stuff. So let us just pause for a minute and talk about the series that we've been teaching on in the church. It's entitled, What Are You Doing? What Are You Doing? Bears a lot on our stewardship. What are you doing with certain things that God has placed you a steward over? For instance, the first week we talked about, what are you doing with your body? There's a responsibility to know the things that God expects of us and what we're doing with our body. Surely, he calls out to us and he guides us and he leads us and directs us in all spiritual things. But we also must consider that we must also bring our bodies into subjection to our spirit man and thereby becoming obedient unto the word of the Lord. So we talked about how the enemy desires to sift us like wheat, but yet Jesus makes intercession for us because there's an expectation of what we'll do with our bodies, particularly in ministry. We moved on We had a radio show here last time we were speaking. We challenged the body of Christ with what are you doing with your pain? We talked about pain management and how pain hurt people, and how we can interrupt the process and how there's an expectation, pay evil for evil. So then we turned around and we talked about what are you doing with your body again. We had a guest speaker come and continue on in that process. We talked about what are you doing with your family. We particularly honed in on how Job sent and he sanctified his family. And what type of covering are you provided for your family? What type of spiritual warfare are you doing for your family? And so now we're finishing up this series here. We're going to do something a little bit different because we wanted you to join in and witness or be a participant in the radio ministry. So we made sure that we wasn't preaching the same things or teaching the same things on the radio show as we were teaching in the sanctuary. So today we're going to come a different route altogether. I hope you're ready. Please buckle your seatbelt because we got to talk about a really hard topic. And today's topic is, what are you doing with your freedom? What are you doing with your freedom? Before we journey into this subject, I know on the radio show some of you guys have been tuned in to the internet and you've been tracking us and looking at what we're doing, or maybe even listening to us on the internet, you might see that we've taken a text from John 8:36. I just want to bag it up a little bit so that we can give some full context. I'm going to begin this scripture reading from 8:31 so that we can see a very clear picture, and then we're going to hone in on that text. So from John 8:31, the Bible reads from the ESV version. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So here it is. We see that a context already that Jesus is speaking in is how we can actually gain our freedom. How will you gain freedom? Knowing the truth. How do you know the truth? You know the truth is contained where? In his word. Not just listening to his word, not just reading his word, but the Bible also says abiding in his word is more than hearing, is more than knowing, but is actually hearing, knowing, and doing. So we'll find that these are the context clues that Jesus has given us for freedom. Verse 33, it says, they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? So they could not see the context in which Jesus was speaking was more than just the physical or what was temporal. Jesus was speaking on what was spiritual and what was impermanent. So here it is. Jesus was letting them know that there's more to it than what your physical freedom. Just because you're free don't mean that you're really free physically. I mean, just because you're physically free doesn't mean that you're free. And just because you are actually in shackles or incarcerated physically don't mean that you're bound. I'll give that to you again. See, just because you are somewhere walking around and you don't have shackles on your feet or you're not behind bars does not mean that you're free. Some type of way it seems as though society have taken the chains off of our wrists and off of our feet and have put them on our mind. Are you free in how you think? Are you free in the against the vices that you find yourself dealing with in your life? Let me call out some vices. How about lying? How about cheating? How about drinking? How about smoking weed? Smoking weed is a vice. How about all of these different vexes? How about stealing? How about these different things? How about you're not doing some of the things that you're supposed to do? How about not actually communing with God the way you should? What about making things your idol? Are you giving Facebook and Instagram more of your time and attention than you dare to give God? Very convicting there. So they could not see that Jesus was speaking beyond just a bondage. So they say, how is it that you say you will become free? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So hold on. You're walking around free, but because it is sin is calling you, sin and temptation is knocking at your door, and every time they knock, you open. You can't resist a strip club. You can't resist hanging out. You can't resist being somewhere where you have no business. You can't resist the lust sensation that is upon you. You cannot resist wanting to hunger and after money, or you cannot resist the fast life in the street. You cannot resist dressing and carrying yourself in such a way that is scantily clad, or as the Bible says, not modest. You can't resist using words of ignorance or using words that demonstrate that you have no godliness. You cannot resist lasciviousness. If you're practicing all of these sinful things, the reality is the Bible says that you're still a slave. You can walk around and thinking that, oh, well, you got your own job, you got your own car, you got your own children, your own family. You the boss, you the supervisor, and you the head honcho in your house, but you still can be walking around a slave. So Jesus said, look, if you practice in sin, you are a slave to sin. Slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains in the house forever. See, there's a difference between the slave and the son. See, the son has the ability to do basically what he want to do because he's a child of the king, and we're speaking in a context of royalty. So here it is, the slave, at some point, he's going to perish out of the house. But see, one way or another, the son is going to live in the house forever, whether it be in name or status, whether it be in memorial. In some type of way, the son lives, but the slave, he fades away. So the Bible goes on to say that, so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, if you notice in your text in the Bible, it's a capital S for son. See, if you back up into verse 35, the Bible says the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son, small S-O-N, remains forever. Because we're talking about the context of a person who is not the person. See, just because it's a son don't mean that it's the son. And in this particular passage, when you move on to verse 35, you're not just talking about any son. You're not just talking about any royalty, whether it's a prince, or whether it's a lord of a kingdom or a particular plot of land. We're specifically talking about the Son, particularly the Son of God, or God the Son. So it says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So as Jesus is actually speaking, he's letting them know that, listen, if you abide in my word, if you live, if you hear, do and actually live, walk in my principles, obey my word, then you'll be set free. Bible is actually making a contrast here to show you that the Son, who is God in the flesh, God wrapped in the flesh, here it is, if he sets you free, then you are free indeed. So here it is, so many of us, we've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. God has done something to you, and you feel the fire on the inside, and once upon a time, you was running up and down churches and shouting. Once upon a time, you was praying. Once upon a time, you were filled with this new zeal because you got saved, because you recognized that God did something for you. You was convinced, and you converted in some type of way. In your spirit, you became so convinced, and you realized that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. You accepted him as Lord and Savior, and now here it is. You can have glory, and you can have so much joy that the world didn't give it to you. The world didn't take it away. Hallelujah. You saved. But when you got saved, understand that was you being free. And while you were or while you are free, I have to challenge you today. Think really hard and deeply about what are you doing with that freedom. Now, this might not be for everybody. Now, unbeliever, if you're out there and if you're listening, understand that this is for you, but this is for you preferably in a future tense, that you decide to give your life over to Christ and you become free from the bondage of sin. You do not have to practice sin, but you've been set free through Jesus. Same person, same thing with you. You have been set free in Jesus Christ. What are you doing with that freedom? I was talking with a pastor friend of mine who's also he holds himself as apostle, and when we were sharing one to another, one of the things that he was talking about was the different vices and vexes. He equated them to being different demons that actually come and afflict us. Okay. Given that I subscribe to that level of theology, let's imagine it. So if there are particular demons that had been in your life, and you go in and you clean them up, the Bible says be careful, because if they come back into your life, they're going to come back with more demons. So you might have just had to clean up a little bit of cussing. Now you're dealing with cussing, lying, cheating. You're dealing with drunkenness. You're dealing with so many different other things because you've allowed so many other things to creep into your life. So what are you doing with that freedom now that you've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you still trying to go back into those same corners where you were doing the same thing? Are you that alcoholic that still can't stay out of the bar but tell yourself that you're strong enough to resist it? Are you that person that was addicted to drugs or addicted to sex or addicted to whatever it is that you were addicted to that had a vice and a hold on your life and you found it hard to pull yourself out of? Have you been delivered from cheating and you still cheating? Have you found yourself, now that you're saved, hearing those old things crying out to you like they used to before? Come on, somebody have to fight from going to the strip club. Somebody remember what it was like to make fast money out in the streets, slinging them drugs, dealing that poison to one another. Somebody remember what it used to be like when they were feeling those homosexual urges, but yet they continue to suppress them, or they tried to suppress them now that they're saved, but at some point found themselves dealing with either relapsing or thoughts of relapsing. What are you doing with your freedom now that you trust and believe Christ? In your freedom, are you forgiving people the way he said? In your freedom, are you loving people the way he said? In your freedom, are you actually blessing those that curse you? In your freedom, are you walking around in the context of love? In your freedom, do your life look something like what Christ desires for it to look like? Or are you walking around in your own sense of self-piety? Are you walking around in your own sense of relativity? That means that whatever is relative to you at the time, that's what you're going to do. And essentially, you become a discerner of righteousness for yourself, opposed to allowing the Bible to be your rule, measure, and guide for your morality in your life. What are you doing with your freedom? Are you using this time to stay in communion with God? Are you actually enhancing your prayer life? The Bible teaches us that men ought to always pray and pray without ceasing. What about actually abiding in his word? Some of us don't even know his word. How can you abide in it? Dorsey, that's a big outlandish statement that you made, Mr. Jose Dorsey, Mr. Theologically Speaking. How can you say that? I look around and I see so many different churches with all of this different third wave movement style doctrine, and it's sweeping us, and although it's not found in the Bible nowhere or it's not backed up with biblical principle, we're still swept away. That tells me that we're not abiding in the word. Bible says, study to show thyself approved, but workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can you rightly divide that which you do not know? It's because it's been divided to you. And because you don't know any better, because you're ignorant of the word, matter of fact, the word even says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. You're perishing. You're dying. You're being swept away. Somebody want to sell you a prayer cloth or some anointed oil, and we're so big to be swept away into this doctrine. Still telling ourselves that we need some apostle, or we need some prophet, or we need some big name bishop, or somebody like that to come lay hands on us, and suddenly everything is just going to melt off of your life, and everything's going to be peachy king. He solved your problem. He absolved your sin. Slap yourself and come to a greater understanding that God is going to hold you accountable for your practices regardless of what they are, whether it's good or bad, and understand that when we get swept away into these different doctrine and these different practices, we can't make the excuse that, well, we didn't know. Well, told you I needed you to show yourself approved. And I also told, and watch this, he's going to hold those people accountable that taught us the wrong things too, because he said, look, I sent some pastors and preachers and apostles and evangelists and prophets and all of these different people. These were gifts that I sent to the church. Make no mistake, your pastor is a gift. Make no mistake, those people that are rightly teaching you and preaching to you and helping guide you in your life and mold you and disciple you in the word of God. They're the gift to the church that God give you. Why he gave them to you? He wanted to equip the saints. I'm in the book of Ephesians now. Ephesians 4. He wanted to equip the saints to do what? For the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Go ye therefore. I'm in Matthew 28 now, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So now we know we have a responsibility to evangelize and make disciples, right? And teaching them to observe all these things that I taught you whatsoever, right? And lo, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. So God has an expectation of what you are going to do now that he released the devil's hold on you. He has an expectation of what he needs you to do. He's invested in you his love, and now he's looking for you. He's looking from you a return on his investment. He took the shackles off, and now you're free, but you owe him a debt. See, your life don't even belong to you no more. It belongs to him. Well, hold on. And don't that mean I'm a slave? Yes. You're free from sin, but you're still a slave to him. I say that again. You're free from sin, but you're still a slave to him. You can never not belong to God, even though you're outside of his will. See, he's designated a place for you now. Come on, somebody. If you choose to ignore his will and not obey him and not abide in his word and not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, there's a place for you, but make no mistake. Even though he put you in that person, that place, you belong to him, if nothing else, as a product of his creation. You still come from him. We still ascended from him, and that he created us, and we procreated, and we spread like wildfire over this world. So the earth is the Lord's, the fullness, and the inhabitants. Everybody that dwell upon the earth, the Bible says, belong to him. It's already God. So make no mistake, the ideal here is that we're free from sin. But what are you doing with that freedom now? Are you still inviting those old demons to come back into your life? Are you still laying down in the same places? Are you still doing the same things that you used to do? Have your mind been truly changed? Have you been transformed? Did he come and shift your paradigm to a different level? Did you elevate your thinking and your way of perceiving things all around you? What are you doing with your freedom? Are you still planning to sin? Come on. I felt that in my spirit just now. Some of us are still planning to sin. Some of us are talking about we can't wait until we go hang out Saturday because we're going to get so drunk and toe up. We walk around with a low life expectancy. For some reason, we've gotten into this space where we really don't care, or we're really not conscious of his word. And really, there's so much life and freedom in his word if we dare to just care to live it. So on today, we challenge you. We're asking you to look very deeply, internally, to do a very honest self-examination. Take an inventory, if you will, a survey. Look at yourself and see what are you truly doing with your freedom. Does your life look like the purpose God has shown to you? Do you even know what that purpose is? And if you don't, I dare you get into the space. The key is right here in his word, verse 31. He says, if you abide in my word. See, until you actually abide in the word, until you actually hear it, speak it, do it, live it, then you're not truly his disciple yet. He said, because if you do that, you're truly my disciples, you would know truth. The Holy Spirit leads us in truth, and he corrects us, and he guides us. And then it says, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, then you are truly free indeed. What are you doing with your freedom? May God bless you, and God keep you.